Welcome to the Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast, a soft place to land when you begin to question it all during a time of great awakenings. Whether you're seeking inspiration, guidance, or simply a space to bring your own brilliance and depth, I humbly offer my voice and lessons lived from the lens of a mixed Native Hawaiian woman, mother, and longtime partner. Not as one who has all the answers, but as one who has dared to ask the questions about the sacred path of reclamation over our stories and our bodies. I believe it starts with devotion to living, not only from our heads and our to-do lists, but living from our bodies as a source of deep wisdom and connection, which then expands our capacity to love and ultimately be in partnership with the God and Goddess within us all. So I invite you to take a breath, open your heart as we reclaim our mana and magic in our everyday lives. Welcome to the show. Let's begin. So before I jump into today's episode, I just want to share that this one was really unplanned and is kind of my way of expressing to the calamities of the world and being in resonance with what is happening. And last night, so it is the 10-10, which apparently is a really powerful portal to be in. And when I say the word portal, especially for those of us who were raised to kind of fear the mystical, the magical, there are portals everywhere. Portals are basically, for me, like time markers, and they set the space, and they are sometimes visual, but often felt. And they are these times where the seen and the unseen come to merge. And I think of them as support. I think of them as taps on the shoulder of deep remembrance. I think of them as invitations to remember the divine is always present with us and that we are never separate from it. And so on this portal, and sometimes I personally love to use visual markers between trees often, or, you know, in between rivers, it is because nature is a powerful portal, right, between life and destruction. And in this portal, 10-10-2024, there's been a lot of destruction. So beginning with a prayer, that's how I want to start this episode. My heart feels so heavy. My throat feels so locked. My mind feels in a spiral. And that combination can often lead to complete shutdown for me, can lead to just this overwhelming angst and anxiety. And as much as there is calamity in the world, there's also beautiful things that are happening. Me personally, there is a senior night happening for my oldest, and there's this moment of transition. And in unprecedented times, I have watched the children of this timeline just show this ultimate resilience. And so one of the things that I have been seeing since especially the fires of 2023 in where we lived in Lahaina is that as adults, we are really just setting up the logistics. Like, I joke, but I am so serious. If you are to just listen to the kids and listen to the keys that they hold, they're really the leaders in all of this. And I believe that they are here in this time with this special light and wisdom that was downloaded to them from the ancestors to lead and guide us and to teach us about greater resilience and love and growing our capacity for joy. And yet we as adults try to mold them the same way that we were molded and suppress their sound and suppress their inner knowing because those are the things that were done to us, when in fact, as we as parents are in this healing era, like, gosh, I don't ever remember my, you know, the generations above me talking about healing as much as we talk about healing. Because we are doing this healing, we are then rewiring our own consciousness to then give others the space and the compassion to bring their light and their gifts forward. And I really hope that we see that this is number one done for the younger generation who is ultimately going to be the caretakers of the earth. It's such a weight, seems like such a simple thing to say, and yet it is so weighted when I say this. Again, this episode was really about me waking up this morning and feeling, I'm yawning already, I'm so tired, so early, right before the sun has even risen. It's still in those pole hours, and in the Hawaiian perspective, the pole and the darkness, the time of the ancestors. And so I invite the ancestors into this space to guide this conversation, that the ancestors of those who are listening will be able to also guide the hearts and the minds of this conversation, because it is coming through me, not from me. So that is my humble prayer as I kind of just jump into what is coming through within all of this calamities of the world, and kind of going back into that portal idea that there is this opening, right? As women, we are portals, those of us who have these womb spaces. And whether you've birthed physical humans, or you've birthed art, or you've birthed ideas, or you've birthed, you know, anything of creation nature, that we are the portals between heaven and earth. And I often think about how overlooked that is. And I feel like sometimes I have oversaid this and, you know, preached this and really just tried to like drive this home. And at the same time, it's like, it's not for you to make people understand. It's just an invitation always for when it lands, it lands. And the thing about truth is that it never has to be forced. And it never fell away. Again, so early. It never has to be convinced. It just exists quietly as it is for those who are in resonance. And as we are portals, during these times of portals, if we have this awareness and we are working on not being so disconnected, number one, to ourselves, there's going to be these moments like this morning, like this week, perhaps, where we just feel everything. And it often can feel debilitating. And I don't want to say that it is re-triggering, because I think that word gets used and overused without a full capacity to understand the shadow and the light side of the word triggering, because triggering doesn't always have to mean bad. Triggering to me can mean activating. So I'm going to use that word, activating, when I'm talking about the calamities that are happening in the world, and the floods and the hurricanes and the tornadoes that are happening in the U.S., as well as one year. One year that the world has been watching the mothers and the grandmothers and the children of Palestine be obliterated. And, you know, I don't believe that we all have the right answers. I believe that so much of our silencing as people, as women, and this shame-filled tactic to take us from our truth is at this like all-time high. And I just see this almost like repeat pattern of the past, and I kind of sit back, and what we call in Hawaii kilo, to just be completely aware. And this year, since I've lost my home and our town and a lot of my identity, you know, I think that that was a big stripping away. But one of the gifts in all of this was to be able to be quiet. And it was necessary, and it is necessary. And I think that so often people either want an answer, right? Like they want response, they want posts, they want a statement. And often it's not actually a response, it's not actually a statement. It is in line with quote unquote their statement. And so I think it's really important to understand that your mana is so important. It's the most, our essence, right? Our essence, our mauli, our life force is the most precious resource that we have. And in that time of, you know, post-fire, and I'm speaking obviously to the calamities of the world from a perspective of someone who also experienced these disasters and this loss, and not to the point of loss of life in our family, but to just be around this and be an experience of it, that meaning well, when there isn't this like grounded practice in life of being quiet and learning to listen to the wisdom, and I think that is different than just studying. There is this information that we have available at all times at our fingertips. There's books and books and YouTube and podcasts and phones, and there's just so much that is constantly, we can just be consuming knowledge. And oh, I learned this on, did you see this on TikTok, and did you see this on Instagram, and now they're saying this, and now they're saying this, and it's like I'm gonna help here, I'm gonna go here, and I'm gonna learn this, and I'm gonna do this, da, 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 da. And then the energy channels and the wisdom channels get really confused with the outside narratives of the world, when in actuality, our ancestors within us, and we are also the future ancestors of our own lines and our own world, they get clouded and they get diluted and they get covered. I don't know how else to say that, because there's not this quiet to tap in to something that doesn't exist. The things that are being circulated online, the things that are being said over and over, they're already out there. They're in the field, right? And are they planted from a resource place? Are they planted from a fragmented place? Are they planted from a truthful place? Because that's huge for me. You know, once this AI thing has become so, you know, in the field, and when I say in the field, it's kind of like within the communities, like it's accessibility, we're aware of it. That's this like field, and I have to kind of roll it back because sometimes I speak to people that are just really in it, like me, you know, and then I have to remember that this entire show is for me, who was just coming out of religious dogma and societal norms of, we don't talk like that, you're weird, like what are you talking about, the field, like the field of grass, like no, the field of consciousness, the field of awareness. And it's important to understand that there is an energetic field. That's why everyone says like, oh, I can just feel the energy. And if your body feels in like angst, or it's irritable, or it's sad, and you're just like, I don't know why, it's because the energetic field sends out these vibrational waves that truly can reach across oceans, you know, and water carries a such a frequency. Anyways, we can go into a long conversation around that, around frequency. But I guess I'm just kind of ground into this breath. After the fires, quiet became the practice. And I would get upset at myself for, oh, get out there, oh, speak, oh, do. And yet spirit would move me, quite literally move me and my beloveds out somewhere quiet. And it wasn't by accident. It was important to realize the essential part of nature that we are, to realize the vastness of our soul, and to start to begin to tap into the wisdom that has been planted within our own bodies. And so this morning, when I was in this angst and blockage and the, oh, you have to, and this and whatever, I had a thought come in, and this was like, oh, I get it why it was so important to disembody our people by taking away pleasure. Why it was important for cultures to be disembodied. When I mean disembodied, it was like to take away access and knowing to pleasures and make everything bad and shameful and wrong. And I'm speaking specifically to like the covering of the bodies and the don't the pleasure, when this massive movement, and I think it's really important for me to talk about this in the upcoming episodes, not as a convincing, but just offering this piece of knowledge, because what is sovereignty if we don't have a full picture, right, that we can gain from? There's so much here, but to just kind of keep into this thought that I get it, that why it was so important for these powers that were coming into play, you know, thousands of years ago, wanted to take women especially away from their power and their pleasures, because when we are not in access to our power and our pleasure, and I'm going to speak specifically to pleasure, when we are here to then please, and we are cut off from our life force and our moly through our sensuality, through our sexuality, we become disconnected from our innate knowing. And this knowing that puts us into this aligned and resourced action and speaking. And then we are more susceptible to the narratives and the agendas of the outside world. I mean, it ultimately comes down to control. And so I think that this is such maybe they knew at what level that this would be, but I think now, you know, thousands of years later, as many of us are awakening, and I just laugh at myself, you know, I think that branding is important and names are important, and you know, this show is called Good Girl Gone Goddess, and it is not that I'm never a good girl, and you know, sometimes people love that good girl and like, you know, sensual like play and whatever. Absolutely, I still have these good girl tendencies to then be quiet, and not the good kind quiet, but the go along quiet, or oh, I'm so nice, so then I allow myself to be trampled over or disempowered. There's always going to be these residues. But the invitation of Good Girl Gone Goddess is to recognize the divine within. That's ultimately what this is. And so, yeah, I think I do get a lot of shit around just the name itself. And I played around with it in this, you know, full transparency episode of like, oh gosh, I'm going to be taken wrong, and they're going to be thinking that I literally think I'm a goddess. And like, yeah, but that's the thing. We are. I am. There is a divine within. There is an unbroken line. And in Hawaii, we, the daughters of Haumea, that Haumea, our great mother, there is a continuum, and she has the ability, if you can let go of this narrative and this dogma and this disconnected thought that was planted in our subconscious mind, that no, you are not special, no, you are not divine, no, there is no such thing as a goddess, there is only one God. And I also say to that, yeah, there is always one, and from the one there is many. And within the many, there is one. And there is a wave, and there is an ocean. And the waves are these individual expressions of the one ocean. And so however you want to go and dive and take that in, but that requires silence. That requires tapping in to your own wisdom. That requires you not allowing others to dictate what you believe, what you know. Sorry, I'm gonna log back into my screen. And that is something that was really, really powerful for me. And so I ground in these words of knowing. And the knowing can only come in the silence. And for so long this year, after being one who shared this is what I ate, and this is what I'm doing, and let me tell you all the things, and blah, 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 blah. The most beautiful part in all of this I see is the silent wisdom, is the meditation practice, is the grounded wisdom that can come from resourcing in this infinite wisdom, in this supreme knowledge. And I am really, really, really grateful to the ancestors, the indigenous wisdom that has never left, and it is carried, and we will find our different ways. And I was reading someone that, you know, met Buddhism at one point in her life and the return to that after all the fires. And for me, I am learning in the Vedic tradition and also grounding in the Hawaiian tradition, and seeing that when we talk about energy, no matter how it is categorized by culture, by place in the world, there is the one energy. And so when I speak about the calamities about in the world and this anxious and this anxiety, I understand that we feel everything rests on our shoulders, because that was also planted in so many of us, especially women. You have to go save you. And there is a heart that is planted, right, by God, by Goddess, by the Great Mother, especially to want to nourish and to want to care. And it is the most beautiful aspect that we hold, to nurture and to love and to mother. And I have been completely just in shock and sadness, and not only for the things which have taken place this past 1 year of genocide, but the downplaying of it all, of the politicizing of it all, of the dehumanizing of it all. And I even say this podcast, although done from Hawaii, goes all the way across the world. It is quite amazing to me still. And there are so many different views on this, depending on what media channels we have access to, or what is the narrative of our own governments. For me, living as an occupied nation, having the United States being the overarching power for the last, 200 years, we live in the American society where we are, I don't want to say we, but where the U.S. is supplying so much of this weapons of mass destruction to then obliterating babies and children. And it's been so hard as our own family has been trying to pick up our own lives from natural disasters. I mean, these are just unprecedented times. And because of technology, we watch it. We have access to it. I just know that, you know, when we were kids, we would watch like Schindler's List in a classroom, and we're just like, how could people do something so horrific? Like, why, you know, there's so much questions, like, what is it? This separation, like, they're humans. And I have a teacher, you know, that is sharing, and I just had to share this, about like love is loving you. And this morning, just to have a quick devotion, and that's why I was playing this mantra this morning, to realize, you know, that there are these ancient wisdoms of the earth, and one of the great yogis of this world, who in the 4th or 5th century, Patanjali, he shares this idea of letting go of me. This clear invitation to drop our ego and enter this from this place of unity consciousness, to realize that we are not separate from the whole, to realize that we are not our ego or our body, not just the ideas floating around in our head, not just the sum total of our whole experience, not just our memory, but that there is something within us that is far greater. So the invitation is to move from love to love, from love. You exist through love. And that in this total unity state, I always thought unity was like 1 + 1 or people coming together, but this from this quiet place of resourcing within this wisdom, that the experience of the individual is unity, which is love. That is what love is. We find points of unification, how we are connected, how we are similar, how you see me and I see you, and I start seeing myself in you and you start seeing yourself in me. And there is the birth of love. You realize that ultimately you and I are not separate. We are reflections of the whole. This idea of separation is only on the surface. And I think that those of us who are awakened to this compassion, and it drops all these, all these justifications of like, that has been the hardest part, but that's where the unity is missing in so many. And it begins with the self. And I always thought, that's so selfish, it's so bypassing, like you're just going to work on yourself and whatever. But it's like when that consciousness can awaken, and that unity and that trust and that portal can be opened within the self. It radiates one at a time, one, two more, and the unity within self is what unifies. And you think this work is so individualistic. And I do believe that surface level, sometimes it can be. I do believe that people use spiritual practices to then not face the darkness of the world. And we've seen a lot of that this year. But when the devotion is real, and when the spirit of love is present truly in that spirit of devotion, which is of truth, then that energetic field, which was once full of angst and uncertainty, can become more powerful, this light energy. And that's why I do thank those who have been so brave and so willing to stand. I am grateful. Because that love, it, although people are like, you're so hateful, and activists are so angry, and da 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 da, when in actuality, it is the greatest love, because it goes beyond the self. It goes beyond what will people think. It goes beyond, oh, but I have to inflate myself. It really reaches into, I see no separation between me and the oppressed. Me and the oppressor. Like, it is, and holding that love and that care, heavy. I don't know where, how I can be like, okay, we are all mirrors. That's a one that I am still learning to integrate, because when I see the heva that goes on in the world, I'm like, how? So perhaps, you know, when people don't agree, and that's it, right? Like, that's the state of the world. Oh, you don't agree with one thing I say, and you know, and that's fine. I do believe there are lines drawn in the sand where if basic humanity of life, the right to just exist, cannot be met, that's okay. There are times where people will just have to sever, and you continue in your truth. And in the calamities that are occurring right now with the disasters. And I do, you know, I remember being on the receiving end of like, well, Lahaina was, we had, oh, there was like lasers and this and this. And I'm like, you know what? And I don't say yes or no. I don't know. But I don't know. I know I didn't have the capacity at that time. And I wish people were like more sensitive, and you know, because the internet, again, where were these quote unquote truths planted? You know, who is behind all these truths? I don't know. But I do just kind of come into this space of one of the greatest things that I did, besides learning to be quiet and learning to observe fully. Because there's one thing of being passive quiet, of like, and I totally is that too, right? Like, that's depression is important. Depression as in deep rest, taking off the mask. I mean, I've reframed that too. I think that I will always have a level of depression within my body. And I do not shame that, because it allows me to tap deeper into this empathetic field. Yeah, I just had a reframe around that this past year, that there's always going to exist. And I think that having this ability to be sad and happy at all times makes me a really good facilitator when I do work with others, when I do hold spaces, because it comes from a really grounded place of being able to feel and tap into truth. That is not performative. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Going back into this calamity, is that, you know, in the times where I felt the most shut down and lost and like, how do I help my family when I can't even feel like I want can help myself? How do I help my community when my family is falling apart? How do I help, you know, that community on the other side of the world when my own community, right? Like, there's always this thing. It was going back to what I just spoke about a little earlier, is like, I gotta resource myself first. And, you know, society, although people say, I wish you healing and take all the time you need, you know, they don't really mean that. I think individuals like to say these things, but I promise you that as, and if you ever, and I don't wish this, if ever your whole life was to blow up, just know that there is a quote unquote, like, hurry up button. People only can have capacity for your sadness and your downtime to the level that they give themselves. Because society overall in this day and age is a consumerism producing type of society where it's like, if you're not in action, you are worthless. And and that's part of like the kilo part in all of this is like recognizing these tendencies of the society, and it's been like the ultimate liberator for me to unhook from these expectations. And I'm like, in time, because people don't know, and you don't have to share the things that you are planting, the things that you are building, the ways in which you are mending not only yourself, but then your family, and then the community, and then ultimately sending that really powerful, not integrated way of being into the larger community. So these aren't things that you can just express on the daily. And I share these things with great vulnerability to be open to being misunderstood and yet understood at the same time by those who are open, and inviting you to see the ways in which, if you are in true commitment to this work of awakening and the divine feminine and rebalancing the planet, and, you know, being one who is for the children and for the next generation, you understand how important that work is, beginning with the self. And I'm not saying to not help while you're working on yourself. There's lots of ways in which that you don't, you know, just sit around. Like, that's not what quiet is. Yeah. But quiet includes a daily practice of deep listening. And I know I've gone a lot of different places, but again, just kind of letting soul lead in these ways. When I felt completely shut down, there was a painting that entered into, I just came upon this painting, and this painting made me go, and it was like, I need this in my space. And it was a reminder to come back to the sweetness and the softness of life. When I felt that all life had been stripped from my body, all life had been stripped from my material world, and that in this time, the pieces of tantra and meditation and all these years of dance and, you know, pleasure activations that I had been studying and diving into and not knowing why. And my partner would be like, do you need to learn these things? I was like, I don't know. This is years before the first. I don't know, but it calls to me. And I said, and I just have this bank of resources, you know, coming into my life, and I just want them to be with me. And in that time, you know, taking one step forward a day and one breath at a time, it was these pleasure practices. And I think often we just think pleasure practices are sexual, but no, it's like learning to cook, because, you know, after calamities and after loss and after being disconnected from the material world, the last thing you want to do is cook yourself a meal. The last thing you want to do is remember your kitchen. The last thing you want to do is think about the cookbooks or the life that, you know, the people that you fed, whatever. But I know that making meals was an activism practice for me, of learning to taste again, because when our nervous system is completely shot and in shock, we lose our sense of taste almost, you know, we can't stomach it. And so that was a pleasure practice that slowly I started integrating. And then there was the sexual nature of things, of connecting to my husband and learning to, as we were both in survival mode, learning to touch one another, learning to be to not only hold, but to be held. And I often think about my partner as life experiencing itself. And this is quite deep. This is within a lot of the tantric perspective. And I don't want to go into that, but I would just repeat, like, life loves me. And I would look at my husband as the one energy that would be holding me in these moments and allow me to fall apart. And sometimes we think, I'm going to have sex and I'm going to connect when I feel good, when we're not fighting. Oh my God, like, we fought during this past year, which is why it is such a testament to one of the things I am most proud about. It's like, if you can go through disaster together, and, you know, so many families, and it breaks my heart, so many families we've known just could not weather it, right? Like, and I don't have the answers for anybody. I'm just speaking for myself that even in the times where I was sad or was mad, we did make the time for the pleasure. There were tears, and there are such, and then individual pleasure practices that in my body, because what pleasure does is it helps you not shut down. And that is the thing that, if in all that I've said, as I would love to, you know, kind of wrap this up, when we disconnect from our pleasure, we disconnect from our inner knowing, we disconnect from our life force, we disconnect from our truth, we disconnect from our sensitivity. And so many of us are disconnected from our sensitive nature. And we think that to be sensitive is to be soft, to be weak. And yet, to be sensitive is the activism. To keep that sweetness that the world will try to strip every ounce from our bodies, every ounce from our spirit, every ounce from our hearts, because then we're able to be manipulated, controlled, numb. And I refuse to be numb. As painful as it is to witness, as painful as it is to feel, sometimes like I'm going to get swallowed. And that is often why I believe so many women, especially when the invitation comes to feel into our emotions, we feel like it's just going to swallow it us up. And when the tears start to well, and when the neck starts to get very constricted, like, I can't, like, oh, and I know this feeling intimately, I'm going to just drown in it. And what I say to that is, let it. Let it drown you. Let it take you. Let it completely destroy all aspects that are not truly you. There is power and wisdom in the stories and mo'olelo of the destruction. And it is not just in the outer destruction of the world, which, of course, we don't wish that on anyone. I'm talking about our inner landscape. That sometimes this destroying power is necessary. And I believe that, you know, where I love to swim, just to give a visual expression of this, the sacred waters, at one point it was a battlefield. And, you know, since then, it's become a cleansing power that so many of us go to receive healing, to receive grounding, to just listen. And every, you know, August or September, there will be like these just really massive storms that where the water tends to flow, it'll change, it'll shift, the rocks will move, the flow will be disrupted. And because water is so powerful, and we are so much of water, and Mother, we come from water, and she is often presented within water, water will break against the rocks. It'll find a new flow. And I think about this in our life, is like, we want so bad for life to always remain into, this is my spot, this is the spot that I swim, and this and this and then. And at the same time, when we allow nature to do what it does, and I'm speaking within the nature of ourselves, we find deeper paths, we find deeper wells of water for which we can be cleansed. And so when it comes to our emotions, and when it comes to our sensitivity, our sensuality, our pleasure, let that be the portal that cracks you open. In time, I do want to share about how powerful like our own orgasms can be as a pathway to our deepest knowing, as our pathway to the divine. And I think it's important for me to just speak these things to maybe shock a few of you. Maybe some of you are deep in this work already and you're like, yeah, totally. Then I absolutely, yeah, I can't wait to dive in and hear your experiences. I'm just sharing for me that there was like such a shock system for me to be like, what? The very thing that I was told was bad and is the doorway to da-da-da-da, and it's for my husband and blah, blah, blah. But like for me to give myself my own pleasure expansion brought me into the deeper knowing. And honestly, that's why we're here today. When the goddess comes calling, there is no turning back. And I am speaking within the goddess within you. I have no idea where this went in the last 45 minutes. I just know that I was awoken very early this morning to grab this mic and to share these things. That in these times of calamity and so much noise, and it is important for us to sit in silence, to resource ourselves, to fill our pleasure. And I have tears. And we think that sadness and anger is the only way in which things get done. Anger is important, rage is important, sadness is important, and ultimately the return to joy is the medicine. And not fake joy, not fake happiness, like, oh, I'm just gonna keep selling things that don't matter of like whatever, but like what matters to you is your joy. And that collective truth, that is this justice. And in all this sadness, you know, it's like that I look at my children, and in this time, that is the activism that I choose to move through these emotions, to not shame any of them, to welcome this, and ultimately look for ways to be in joy, be in love, be in pleasure. So that I am aware, I am awake, I am moving from a place that is resourced, I am moving from a place that is purposeful, I am moving from a place that is beyond just what is in front of me, but moving to a place that is the future ancestor, and that I will, whatever quote unquote arrive, whatever that means, in a place that is resourced for all. That I can be an anchor in the place that I live. That you can be an anchor in the place that you live. The world does not need fragmented beings. We need integrated beings that are sincere, that are devoted, that understand these things and understand these truths. And so this is how I want to end your prayer for those who are experiencing so much loss. A prayer for those who are rendering aid, whether it be physical, whether it be financial, whether it be through simple prayers, and never let anyone say that your prayers are useless. Prayers and action save. I have been on the receiving end of these truths, and I have felt the prayers, especially when done with sincerity, that there were times where, you know, and whatever faith, and that's what's so beautiful, is it all for me comes down to the one energy and the many expressions. And I pray for peace within ourselves and collectively, that we, as especially women, as portals on this portal, open ourselves to greater wisdom and greater capacity for true unity and true love. And that as we are walking embodiments of this love, that we invite others into this way of being. And that even in our imperfections and our disembodied moments, we come back to the practice, and ultimately that we are the truth. I know receiving direct aid, which was the most important, and that's why I'm sharing this. I was sitting at a doctor's office. It was an eye doctor. And I was coming in to replace my son's glasses, which were lost in the fire. And a kupuna, like an elder, had come over. And she's like, "Oh, I heard you're from Lahaina." And I said, "Yeah." And she sat next to me, and she reached into her pocket. And she said, and she pulled out a crinkled dollar. And it was a $20 bill. And she just, and I didn't look at it, but she took my hand. She put it in my hand, and she said, "This is my lunch money." And she's like, it's not a lot. This is what I have. And I just want you to have it and know that we're all praying for you. And I just, this story always brings tears to my eyes, because it felt as if she was handing me $1 million, because it was done in that spirit of sincerity and love. And that $20 handed to me with all the aloha that this woman could muster up, did more for me in that moment than I think all of it, you know. And I share this because we think that the little you give is little, but as someone who was on the receiving end, love is not little. Sincerity is not little. Kindness is not little. And so I want to encourage all of us to do a little with a whole lot of love. And I will talk to you on the next episode. Mahalo for joining me today on this episode of Good Girl Gone Goddess podcast. If you have enjoyed our conversation and are looking forward to more conversations, I invite you to hit subscribe so that you never miss an episode. I love to hear from you when you share your takeaways and tag me on social media. And I am so thrilled to share that I have launched a new Substack newsletter where you'll find a beautiful blend of intimate writings, deeper dives, connections, and movement classes all wrapped into one. Thank you so much again for joining me, and I will see you on the next episode.